Welcome to Find the Numbers, sponsored by Queen City Breaks. Harris Avery and the guys are at Queen City Breaks on the Facebook group. Have a lot of different breaks, different varieties. Remember, if you mention Behind the Numbers on your first break with them, you get $10 off that break. But again, they do a great job over there. A lot of variety of football, basketball, and baseball. Check them out. They've been doing a lot of Bowman Chrome lately. So I've been enjoying their breaks. Week five review show. So we're just going to go through some things with week five. It's a big week and a big week of injuries. So with that, I had to bring on Dr. Waters Banker again to catch us up on all the ins and outs of the injuries. But first of all, I just got to point out that I think I'm up 190 to 108 in our fantasy football matchup. I think it's our first fantasy football matchup in our 10 years of marriage. Do you have anything you'd like to say about that?
Congratulations.
All right. Yeah, I was a little lucky. I had Derrick Henry go off. I have Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson stack, and then Mark Andrews had a couple touchdowns tonight. So just kind of pouring it on. But let's get to the big one to start, Doctor. What do you think about Russell Wilson's injury? They're saying he's saying 4 weeks. Some are saying 6 to 8 weeks. It's a pretty interesting injury. Would you like to kind of dive into it a bit with us?
Yeah, it is. He ruptured the extensor tendon on his distal phalangeal joint, otherwise called a mallet finger. The reason it's called mallet finger is because what ends up happening is you have extensor tendons that allow you to do this with your hand and your fingers. The extensor tendon comes and it attaches at different points in your fingers. So here at your middle joint and at the distal joint here, he ruptured it from his distal joint, which means that he can't extend just the distal portion of it. So his finger is in a position like this, which is called a mallet finger. Very difficult to do unless you isolate that joint by itself. So it's a pretty odd injury, and he actually cannot extend it back up again. So he had surgery. You can conservatively treat this with a brace, but you're in that brace for an extended period of time, and to the point where you have to lay your finger like flat on the table and take it out of the brace to like clean your brace and clean your finger and then slide it back on, never allowing even gravity to pull that finger down. So my assumption is, since he had a surgical repair, is that they went in and they potentially may have pinned that down. He also, though, had a fractured dislocation at that middle joint there. So quite a complex injury all taking place in one finger. And a finger is quite important for, obviously, throwing the football. So we would expect with any fracture to have some sort of a healing time of 6 to 8 weeks. If they put pins potentially in those fractures, those would need to come out. If they did put a pin at the top of his extensor tendon, best case scenario why he might be saying 4 weeks would be if he pulled out a piece of bone with it. If you pull out a piece of the bone with it and you're able to pin that bone back into place, you may be able to have a fracture healing time of 4 to 6 weeks to then maybe remove that pin or potentially cut the pin under the skin and allow some, regular everyday type movement. But he is an NFL quarterback that heavily relies on that finger. So I still think even the 6 weeks is optimistic. 4 weeks sounds a little bit crazy to me, but it is Russell Wilson, and he's probably one of the most focused, determined people I've ever seen in NFL football.
Definitely, so, yeah, definitely.
I don't know. I can't necessarily count him out because he does crazy things.
Yeah, for sure. I guess from the hobby perspective, also a concern would be long-term. I mean, obviously it's his throwing hand, so that's a concern. Is this having any like long-term effects in terms of like a weaker grip, or, I mean, just anything you can think from a throwing perspective that could bother him?
No, I mean, if anything, it's going to become more stiff potentially from scarring down. The other thing too, I mean, this injury is very common in football, honestly, and it happens sometimes. It depends really on the position that you play and how you're going to treat it. So if you're an offensive lineman or D lineman and the use of the tip of your finger isn't really that important, some guys just end up saying, yeah, I care more about playing and my paycheck and the limited amount of time that I'm in the NFL. I don't really care so much if my finger's bent like this for the rest of my life. If it really starts to bother me, I'll have a physician break it and then essentially put it back into place after I retire or something. Mm-hmm. For people though that, you know, our everyday jobs like you and me, where we're typing on the computer, that's actually a pretty serious injury that really affects your livelihood. So Russell Wilson's kind of in that category of it affects his livelihood because he needs to use it. But, you know, he got into surgery like the very next day and he's getting top care. So I don't really foresee this being a super huge issue for him moving forward, especially at this point in his career.
Yeah, that's good. I think he's just being a little bit quick with it because they're 2-3 right now. They have a bye week in 3 weeks. He kind of wants just basically going to miss 3 games, I think, essentially, is what he's thinking. And he'll be back after the bye week. But who knows? We'll see what happens. He is a superhuman, that's for sure. So we got kind of a group of running backs. We got Saquon Barkley kind of took a really bad ankle sprain. A little bit of concern. He's been oft injured. That's been his deal. Top draft pick, very explosive when he's healthy. His just soft tissue injuries, he had a torn ACL, just they seem to kind of be piling up. Injury prone is a hard label for people, but when does it get to the point where it's hard to get away from, I guess you could say, because it just seems like we keep waiting for Saquon to become healthy and he continually doesn't. We haven't seen a good stretch from him to kind of give you the summary.
Injury prone, yeah. There is some truth to being injury prone because the biggest risk factor for an injury is a previous injury. So if you've already had an ankle injury, you're very likely to have another one. I think it's like somewhere in the upwards of like 80 to 90% of a chance of happening again. Knee injuries, not as high, but you know, same thing. It's the greatest factor for having injuries already having one. So when you're starting to have multiple injuries at different joints, on the same leg or even on the opposite leg, you start to be worried about someone's longevity because you start to get into these areas of having chronic instability. And particularly when you think about the body, it's a movement chain, a kinetic chain is what it's called. And so if your ankles are unstable and then you've had previous knee injuries, like you're really working your way up the chain and like how many more issues are you potentially going to have as you go through different cycles of rehab and different cycles of a compensation to where you may be relying on other parts of your body more so than you would and starting to wear those down or causing issues there. So I think it's a concern whenever you see someone having multiple issues, especially when it is on the same limb.
Right. I mean, Christian McCaffrey is getting close to that as well. He has put in a couple seasons of just full seasons of work. But he's also a very explosive player. He is starting to kind of get nicked up continuously over the last couple of years. He did kind of get some limited work this week, as they were saying, 4 weeks from his hamstring. Now he gets limited work. Looks like it might be a slower 2 to 3 weeks. So just hopeful with him. I know that's just kind of week to week when it comes to hamstrings and how they respond. Dalvin Cook was out last week with ankle. The week before he played with it, and the week before that he was out. So he's been in out for the last 3 weeks. Also kind of a soft tissue thing with him as well that kind of keeps creeping up. I guess with these running backs, it's kind of simply you're just going to have to be patient, right? Like, you just have to wait.
I mean, they need their legs. There's so much more explosive in a different way than like an O lineman or a D lineman would be. You've actually got to get out and get moving. In running back positions, you know, one of the hardest hit positions in NFL, like they have a very short lifespan. And so you just start to see these nicks and dings that happen over time. It's like death by a thousand paper cuts with these guys. So, but it unfortunately happens over a very short period of time.
Yep.
And so, I think for a running back, you're going to want that hamstring to be almost 100% before you really see them back into play, or at least, you know, playing as much as they did or taking as many reps as they do, because otherwise it's just going to be a constant thing that's lasting all season.
Yeah, that's why it's hard for us to get cards of running backs in the hobby. Running backs are very volatile. There's a lot of injuries, a lot of in and outs. I mean, that's why, you know, Derrick Henry is one of the better running backs because he is very big and takes a beating and he's puts in the work to keep that kind of that health, you could say. But and then the last couple guys we always talk about, Daniel Jones got a concussion. Kind of, we know the story on concussions. It's kind of how all they react. It's not very direct in terms of how long. And then Tua's coming back. Hopefully, they're hoping to have him back next week after his rib fracture. And then Jimmy Garoppolo was the last one I was going to mention because he's out with a calf, but he's week to week. They have a bye week. So a lot of us have been kind of looking for Trey Lance. Trey Lance looked okay, but also got nicked up. But it looks like they want Jimmy to come back in when he's healthy. But looks like the Ravens just pulled off the comeback and took down the Colts in overtime. Did you want to mention anything about Carson Wentz's miraculous ankle recovery?
Yeah, my failure on saying there's no way that guy's being coming back after 4 weeks. Yeah, obviously, I think they may have overblown his injury a bit in the initial reporting, which isn't actually uncommon. We see with quarterbacks quite a bit. There's an initial scare, and then the immediate reports that come out, it just always sounds doom and gloom. And then obviously, those ankle injuries were a bit more mild than what would have originally been suggested. So enough to where he could be taped up and go out there and perform. So good for him.
Perfect. Well, awesome. Well, thank you for the injury update. I really appreciate it, as your expertise is always good for us in the hobby. I think the big one with Russell Wilson. So nothing to worry about long term, and we'll see if Super Russell can come back in 4 weeks, like he says, but 4 to 6 is the window.
If he does, I mean, it will be incredibly impressive and much talked about. I wouldn't be surprised if he's willing to risk having issues with that finger to finish out the season.
Yeah, that's just how
he's that kind of guy.
That's true. That's perfect. All right, well, thanks again.
Thank you.
Closing up there, Lamar Jackson did make another comeback on the Colts. The Ravens were getting pummeled. I mean, Jonathan Taylor had a great game. 2 touchdowns. Lamar King came back, hit Andrews a couple touchdowns. They got an overtime. Colts kicking killed them. I think Blanket Chip's a little bit hurt. But they're a good comeback for the Ravens. They keep squeaking out these games. And they're 4-1, but it's definitely has been pretty at times. But they're getting it done when they have to. We'll see how long it lasts. Lamar kind of keeps having turnovers at the wrong time. But again, you got to win. Got to give him credit for that. So one thing I wanted to kind of go through with you guys real quick, I'd love your comments. I'd love you to reach out on Twitter with me. I know we talked about the graded card situation the last couple of episodes. If you haven't checked them out, please go check them out. We kind of went on my little graded card rant a week ago, and then on last Thursday's show, I broke down all the grading companies' pricing in terms of how they're selling for Justin Herbert's Prism rookie. So go check that out. But I just wanted you to put in the show notes or come to me on Twitter and let me know what grading companies have you tried that's out of this mainstream. So I think PSA is the mainstream. BGS is still somewhat mainstream, but if you've tried FCG or CSG or SGC, all these crazy acronyms, if you tried any of the new ones, just what was your experience and just how do you feel about it? I currently have, only thing I've done out of the stream so far is I have one sub at HGA right now. They are a little bit behind. They kind of gave me a message saying it was because of COVID a little bit. They're back a week. So it was a 60 business day. So it's still not technically late yet, but it sounds like it'll be about a week late than expected. But when I get that back, I'll make sure to give you guys a little bit of my perspective of what I thought of their grades and kind of their customer service and the whole experience. So again, give me a shout out of how you're feeling about other grading companies who had the big two. So just jump into the week review, guys. A lot of big games. Rams did take down Seattle after Russell Wilson's injury. Geno Smith did play well, and his replacement kind of kept him in the game, but the Rams did pull away. It's a big loss for Seattle, especially losing, obviously, Russell Wilson, but having that loss in general just pushes them to 2-3. They have the Pitt, Saints, Jags, then a bye, then Green Bay. So Jags, obviously, we can talk about as an easy win, but they got Saints and Pittsburgh, really tough defenses for Geno Smith. That's going to be tough. And then they have their bye, and then they're at Green Bay, I believe. And I think that's kind of Russell Wilson's target, is to be back for Green Bay. But either way, to me, it looks like 1-2. They're going to be 3-5 going to Green Bay. It's going to be really tough for Seattle. They're going to be in quite the hole at the halfway mark. So Falcons edge Jets in London. That was an early game. Zach Wilson kind of went back to his old mistakes. Very ugly game for him. We'll get to his stat line. We get to the rookie report, but not good for him. But Pitts did look good as rookie. Green Bay beats Burrow and the Bengals in overtime. A lot of missed kicks, a lot of squandered opportunities by the Bengals and the Green Bay. They both have a chance to win that game. But overall, it's like I was encouraging if you're a Bengals fan, I think that playing Green Bay that tough and being right there with them neck and neck was good to see. I think Devontae Adams, Jamar Chase went back and forth as well. Both receiver ones, it's safe to say that for Jamar Chase. But really fun game to watch. I did watch that morning game. Steelers get back on track. They end their 3-game skid with the win at home over the Broncos. Running game's big. They're really relying on Najee Harris. We'll get to his line in the rookie report. But, man, they are really running their offense through him. As a rookie, that's pretty impressive. Very similar to how they brought in Le'Veon Bell when Le'Veon Bell was leading that team. Bucks dominate Miami. Brady continues his MVP run. 411 yards, 5 touchdowns. And Antonio Brown, I put his Antonio Brown back. He 2 touchdowns, over 100 yards receiving. Another impressive day for him. They have a lot of targets there. I know Gronk's out, but Godwin and him and Evans all had something. I think between them, they had like 27 targets. I think I added it up. So a lot of looks for them. They're making the best of their use of their looks from Brady. Hurts uses his legs to get win at Carolina. Overall, Carolina kind of dominated that game. Both quarterbacks were kind of locked down. Both defenses played really well, but Hurts made the plays when he had to with his legs, which is encouraging. Again, same old story. I'm still concerned with his passing efficiency. He had a couple airmail, a couple different passes that weren't too impressive. And so did Darnold. Darnold had three picks. Darnold was kind of his worst game of the year probably and really kind of just lost it at the end. He had a chance there driving to maybe potentially get a field goal to tie it. He kind of airmailed one. Ended up being intercepted. So both quarterbacks struggled passing, but Hurts at the end of the day got it done. We get to see Hurts on Thursday night against the Bucs. I'll be excited to see what he can do against that defense. So Henry and the Titans roll past the Jags. As I said, he helped me in my fantasy matchup. but they 37-19. Lawrence was decent, but Henry dominated and they just kind of kept their game script going and the Titans just rolled through him eventually. But overall, it's just Jags are a mess right now. I think give Rathburn some credit. I think he's right. I think that Urban Meyer's last week will be next week and they'll probably dump him at the bye week. We already heard the crazy news tonight about John Gruden being let go due to some so we'll say email, so I won't get into it. But that's a lot of things are changing. It's getting kind of interesting in terms of the coaching landscape. Very surprising game. Davis Mills played really good against New England. Belichick's known for just ripping rookie quarterbacks to shreds, and Mills was really good. So that's really encouraging for them. I don't know if they set a great game plan or if it was kind of that drawback game for the Patriots coming back from that big game with the Bucs, and they just kind of fell into that trap a little bit. But Mills looked good. I mean, Mac Jones okay. We'll get to his numbers, but at the end of the day, Mac Jones got him position to win the game, and they did, so that's good. Fields gets a nice road win against the Raiders. I think he played pretty well, not big numbers, but he didn't turn the ball over. He had one pick, but overall just kind of kept it simple, and they came away with the win. They let their defense win it for him. Herbert and Baker, game of the day was the Browns and Chargers. I watched that game start to finish. It was incredible. 42-7, 42. Herbert outlast Baker and the Browns. I mean, every guy on the team, if you had a fantasy player in that game, you probably did good. You had Chubb and Hunt, both were good. Baker was good. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Eckler. I mean, it was a fun game to watch. It was just up and down the field, really good game, but Herbert outlasts him. And we'll get to more about Herbert in a little bit. Last couple of games here we'll talk about. Kyler and the Cardinals stifle Lance. They go to 5-0. A very defensive battle. San Fran's defense came to play. They really slowed down Arizona, but Lance and San Fran just couldn't get their offense going and just kind of stalled out. But at the end of the day, Cardinals are 5-0, and that's really big for Kyler's MVP chances. They're undefeated, and they've got some big division wins under their belt. So very impressive back-to-back wins by Kyler and company. And then probably the biggest win of the night, you could say, was Josh Allen winning at KC. Some questionable calls there. Roughing the passer on Allen, I think, was one. But there was also a pretty soft one on Mahomes, a guy kind of blocked into his legs. But all in all, I thought the Bills' defense dominated, and Josh Allen's came through when he needed to. He threw some great passes and hit some great deep balls. But really impressive win for the Bills, and I think they're kind of the team to beat in the AFC right now. You got KC's 2-3, and the Bills they're rolling. And the defense going, and the offense they have the most scored points in the league as of today. So definitely a big win for Josh Allen and company. All right. So I had to add a couple of rookies to the production list. We had a couple of guys that I'll get to the end that made some noise, and we're going to start getting their cards in our view. But first off, let's get to Trevor Lawrence. He was 23 for 33, 273, one touchdown, one pick. He had 7 rushes for 28 yards and one touchdown. So again, not terrible, not great, just kind of making strides, hopefully. Mac Jones, 23 for 30, 231, one touchdown, one interception. Zach Wilson, 19 of 32, 192 and one pick, so not great. Justin Fields, 12 for 20, 111, one touchdown, 3 for 3 yards rushing. So sorry, Fields didn't have a pick, just a touchdown. Trey Lance, 15 for 29, don't like to see that percentage. Just about right, he's right at 50%. 192, one pick, but he'd have 89 yards rushing on 16 attempts. Jamar Chase continues his receiver one start, 6 for 159, one touchdown on 10 targets. Devonta Smith, 7 for 77 on 8 targets. Devonta looks good. I would say that when Hurst is throwing to Devonta, he does look like they're in sync. So I think that's going to continue. I'm excited to see what they can do down the stretch. Jalen Waddle, 2 for 31 on 6 targets. Not much there, but again, he's having quarterback issues with Brissett behind center. Kyle Pitts, 9 for 119, one touchdown on 10 targets. Big game for him in London. Calvin really didn't make the trip, so he was basically their receiver one. He got it done. He looked really good. Nice to see him get going. Najee Harris, 23 for 122, one touchdown, 2 catches for 20. Like I said, they're running their offense through him right now, and I just think that if the Steelers can make any type of run for the playoffs, and getting that kind of cold weather games where they're running the ball well, they have a chance. And I think that that's only going to help his hobby value. And he seems to be a guy that right now he's a running back in the class for sure. You know, running backs we talked about at the start of the show, tough to invest in, but I think Najee Harris is getting my attention for sure. Javonte Williams is kind of continued usage. He's very good yards per carry. So I'm excited if he ever gets a full workload, but 8 for 61 on the ground, 3 for 25. So in 11 touches, he provided almost 100 yards of offense. That's really good. Again, Davis Mills, 21 for 29, 312, and 3 touchdowns. And when I was rewriting these notes, just typing that in after erasing his like 6 for 16 and 4 picks game, it's just crazy for that kind of turnaround against a good defense like that. So either made some, the team either made some great adjustments, Patriots were sleeping, or he just really turned the corner this week. We'll see if he can put another game together, but it's a very impressive game against the Patriots defense. Trey Sermon only got 1 for 7 yards, so Elijah Mitchell was back, so he kind of took a step back. The three guys I added was Amara St. Brown, 7 for 65 and 8 targets, so he's basically Detroit's number one receiver. Chuba Hubbard for filling in for CMC, 24 rushes, 101 yards, 5 catches for 33 yards. He was really good. Looked pretty explosive, hit the edge a couple of times against the Eagles. Liked what I saw of a rookie there. It's a good backup for CMC. And then the biggest guy of the week that has been on our list was Kadarius Toney against Dallas. 10 for 189, 1 rush for 7 yards. Big fancy day for him. He's probably one of the top waiver wire pickups you can get, but definitely showed some light. Very Tariq Hill style of speed and acceleration. His footwork and foot speed is insane. If you go watch those highlights, he's very impressive how quick he is. But if they keep getting him going, well, he'll be a guy that'll be on our list for our rookies as well. All right, just kind of moving into our hot and cold players of the week. So cold players, I'll start with the cold. I've been pushing this guy up for a while, but you gotta, you know, be honest, and we have to. But Sam Darnold, you know, I've been saying he's been to keep climbing, but 21 of 37, 177, 1 touchdown, 3 picks. The Eagles were all over him. Pressure, he just wasn't good. Just a bad game. He floated some balls. He was late on some passes. Overall, it's not a great game for him. Derek Carr, 22 for 35, 206, and 1 interception. So the whole three, like I said, I thought the Raiders would fade eventually, and they have. They're down to 3-2 now. Lost their coach. Just seems like things are going downhill for them. So that whole Raiders mirage is kind of starting to come into fruition and what we're expecting. Saquon injured early, but he's cold. I put him on there just because he's injured again, and that's what we can't happen for Saquon and his cards to ever take off. So as long as he continues to keep being injured, we're going to have a tough time with his cards actually going anywhere. And then Tyreek, 7 for 63 on 13 targets. I put that there because a lot of targets, not a lot of action, so it's kind of interesting for Tyreek. The Bills did a good job with him, and he also got nicked up at the end of the game as well. All right, go over our hot players here. Tom Brady, 30 for 41, 411 on 5 touchdowns. So Brady's continuing to put together stats for MVP performance. So that's what you kind of like to see. Herbert, massive game against the Browns. Browns defense is really good. So they blew some coverages. Herbert made him pay when he had to. But 26 for 43, 398, 4 touchdowns, 29 yards rushing, and another touchdown. So 5 total TDs for Herbert. Josh Allen, again, a massive game against KC, 15 for 26, 315, 3 touchdowns, 11 carries for 59 yards, and another touchdown, so 4 total touchdowns for him. Two receivers, again, they were actually against each other. I mentioned them earlier. Jamar Chase, 6 for 159, 1 touchdown. Devontae Adams, 11 for 206 and a touchdown. Very big game, a lot of volume for Devontae Adams. Derrick Henry, a massive game again, 29 for 130 and 3 touchdowns. I've been saying it for a while now. I think Derrick Henry is probably the safest to the only running back that I care to own cards in right now that for a longer period of time. I think Zeke's close because Zeke's starting to show that juice again a bit. But definitely Derrick Henry is just the guy that just seems wildly consistent. Let's cut that one. 3. He just seems like he's really consistent, and that's what I look for in terms of running back. Again, I want to mention my sponsor, Queen City Breaks. Avery Harris and the guys, again, Bowman Chrome's just settling down a bit, but they'll probably definitely have some Mosaic football. I bet you when that comes out, they get some retail. They get a lot of different options for you guys to get into, so check them out. Mention Behind the Numbers. You get $10 off that break, and I greatly appreciate it. So make sure to mention Behind the Numbers. So product update, you know, we'll get into it more on Thursday, but there wasn't too much product to talk about this week. Origins hasn't really had many sales yet, so it's still relatively new. I'll try to get some key sales for that. Next week, Dynasty, guys to invest in long-term focus. I'm having Katie Flower on, great fantasy expert. She's awesome. I can't wait to talk to her. I've listened to her stuff on UTH in the beginning. She's been around for a long time in the fantasy realm, and I'm excited to have her. So we're definitely going to focus on that long-term game of cards and fantasy and blending the two. So that's what we're going to be doing next week. So my 5 takeaways from week 3, Herbert gets a big win and distance from Mahomes in the AFC West. So like Herbert gets that big win. They're now 4-1. Casey's 2-3. He's got two games on him. The whole issue with me with Herbert was like, can they ever be better than KC? And he's in a position to do that. If Herbert wins that division, his card's going to continue to climb. And that goes back to Ty and I's conversation about 2020 football wax being massive. If you have some, keep it. That's the wax you're going to want right now. Feels like we might have a Manning-Brady rivalry brewing. So my take two, Allen and Mahomes. It's a really that rivalry, Brady and Manning, was big for NFL, was big for the sport. I think that Mahomes and Allen are kind of getting that situation where they're going to be very similar. They're both in the AFC. They both are on teams that are constantly in competing for titles. And I think that we might see these guys going at it for a few years, which is great. I'm excited to see that. Kind of quarterback discussion. Behind Brady and the older quarterbacks, the gap of Mahomes in tier two is getting tighter and tighter. So I believe that like Murray, you have Murray, Herbert, and Allen, and then I'll throw Dak in there as well. I think those quarterbacks are underpriced compared to Mahomes right now. Mahomes has one championship. That's all he has right now. He's still the most talented quarterback I've seen, but these other guys are playing so well that gap has to be getting tighter at some point. So either Mahomes is going to come down and we're going to kind of meet in the middle a bit. It's kind of similar to that kind of Trout idea in the baseball card world. He's just been so much higher than everybody for so long that what happens when the players start to catch up is his going to drop and kind of level out or not. But I do think that those guys I mentioned are making cases to be Mahomes-esque. I mean, Josh Allen's making very similar throws. Josh Allen's running the ball better than Mahomes is. I just think that these guys are starting to show that they can do it all. Herbert as well. Like, these guys have all the talent that you could ask for to challenge for that next big thing that Mahomes has been for the last couple of years. Take four, Seattle, KC, Pitt, and Sam Fran are all sitting at 2-3. I think that that's shows the parity in the league. I think that's what's fun about the NFL is every year is a little bit different. But seeing those four teams being 2-3, I don't think I would have guessed that. I know that Seattle and San Fran play a tough division, so somebody had to be 2-3. But to see both of them lose some of the games they lost, quite surprising. That's kind of my takeaway four. And if you follow me on Twitter, again, @numbers_behind, I did mention this one. It's kind of a crazy stat for you. Jamar Chase is currently at 23 receptions for 456 and 5 touchdowns. Just to put that in perspective, last year when Jefferson broke the reception yardage record for rookies, he was at 19 receptions for 371 and 1 touchdown at 5-game mark. So you can see that Chase is being in all three categories, more receptions, more touchdowns, and more yardage. Just food for thought, Randy Moss's rookie reception touchdown record was 17, and Jamar Chase already has 5. So we'll see if Jamar Chase keep that going and challenge for that Randy Moss rookie record. But again, next week, please check out the show. I'm going to have Katie Flower on. I'm excited to bring her on and just really dive into the fantasy, how we approach cards and dynasty. Again, that's kind of how I approach my card collecting is I look for those players that I want dynasty leagues. And so bringing on the dynasty experts is the perfect fit. Hope you guys had a great week of football. I'll check in with you guys on Thursday.